coming from? Okay, is that the spirit of God or is that the spirit of the world that didn't come on you? You see, it's trying to mold you and shape you. It's trying to conform you to it. And there's a pressure there to conform. But look at what the scripture says. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So one of the reasons that the Holy Spirit is present in our life is to reveal to us the things that God has prepared for us, things that I hadn't seen. See, the natural eye can't see these things. Things that ear hadn't heard. He's talking about the natural ear. It's things that the natural ear can't comprehend and can't understand. The natural eye can't see it. The natural ear can't hear it. So when you receive the Holy Ghost, it puts you in another realm, a whole nother realm of living where you can see things that other people can't see. You can hear things other people can't hear. Amen. I'm just telling you, I'm just reading from the Bible. Which things we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now listen to this. Verse number 14, but the natural man, everybody say the natural man. See, the natural man, the man who's governed by the spirit of this world, the man who is governed by his flesh, by how he feels, by what he sees, by what he hears, the natural man receive it not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are what? Foolishness to him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned or judged. So when you're talking to natural-minded men, they think you crazy. They say that boy done lost his mind. You tell somebody we heard angels singing, they say, boy, them people... People, I ain't going around that church. People talking about they hear angels and stuff. We have another set of ears. We have the element of the supernatural, which God intended for us to live in this place, not to visit this place. We're supposed to live in the spirit. This shouldn't be like every now and then things happening supernaturally. I mean, it should be so common to us, the supernatural. Not that we disrespect it or that we take it for granted, but it should be so common to us that it is more natural for us to operate and function in the realm of the spirit than it is for us to function in the flesh. You see, a bird don't have any problem flying. You clip a bird's wings, and you done messed him up. Because now he can't do what he was designed to do. He was designed to fly. Designed by the Creator to fly. And if you take that away from him, then that bird, its purpose no longer exists. You know, a bird that can't fly is going to die. It's just like walking in the Spirit and being led by the Holy Ghost and living a supernatural lifestyle should be so natural to us, almost like a fish in water. A fish in water don't struggle to swim. Why? You put him in water and he in his element. He's in his domain. That's the realm he was designed to live in. Now you take him out of that ramp. Take the fish out of water. And what do you start doing?
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada,
pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship service. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
KKAYT 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power. Power beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
To God be the glory for all that he has done. Praise his holy name. Do join in with me in thanking the liturgical dancers, our mass choir, our youth choir, our cherubim choir, Reverend Foster, and all those who have come before me to prepare the way for the word of the Lord in this celebrative day called Easter Resurrection Morning. Give the Lord a mighty hand of praise. Glory to God. I also want you to join in with me and thanking God for those who are in the choir room in the chapel, filled out in the new auditorium in the overflow annex, and they may be putting them in the classrooms now. Come on, you can give them a big hand. Glory to God. I'm so grateful to the good Lord that they are here in the house, and we have been at Southern for several years, and we are grateful to be in the house of the Lord, celebrating this Resurrection Sunday morning. Amen. So very grateful to have our mayor and first family here sharing with us today. Amen. God bless you. And to all of the family and friends who have come to share with us, with our family members, we are grateful to the good Lord for this wonderful celebration. Celebration is taking place all over the world, with believers who are excited about what this day represents. A day that we should never ever allow to become humdrum. A day that we should never ever allow to be just another holiday. But it is all that is wrapped up in what Jesus did to bring us into a right relationship with the Father. And every time we have an opportunity to celebrate this Resurrection Day, we ought to do it with all that in us is. All that in us is. And God will truly receive the glory as we, his people, will continue to receive the good. Stand on your feet. Open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Recorded are these words. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Verse 4 says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Verse 5 makes clear that those of us who are kept by the power of God, listen, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while, I want to talk about, I got something to shout about. I've got something to shout about. When verse 5 says, who are kept by the power of God, I just couldn't hold myself right there. Because I know, maybe like some of you who may or may not know, that it has been God who has kept me all the way from my existence even until now. It has been nobody but the Lord. And I want to come back to that verse at the end and talk a little more about that. But when we begin to look at this day we call Easter, Resurrection Day, the church has lost most of its shout and most of its joy, because they have missed the reality of what this day still means. What was done once was good for all times. So that means if it was good for all times, then that means when it was done first, that was joy, and there should be joy ever since, even now. I know we have somehow shifted our focus and we have placed it on many other things, as the enemy would want us to do on this day that we focus on, as you are were told by Sister Tracy, and how we shift our attention on bunnies and eggs, et cetera, and all the rest of these things that the enemy desire us to focus on, and miss the reality that Jesus Christ did something that no one else could do for us, not even us ourselves. It makes us wonder, do we really know what we've got? See, this is not a superficial shout. It's a supernatural shout. It's not a shout that makes us feel good for the moment or feel good because the choir is singing one of our favorite songs or the preacher is whooping to high heaven. It ought not be a shout that emanates from external realities, but rather internal realities connected with eternal realities. It ought to be a shout that reminds us that this thing still ain't over. That when we look at our salvation, it is a three-part salvation, trifold salvation. God has given to us already two-thirds of that salvation, and the one-third that's left, Peter talks about in our verses. And one of the things that I want you to look at first as we begin to develop this text is to see that in verse 3, resurrection is the theme of this verse. Blessed be the God and Father.
Blessed be the God and Father. One of the reasons why I like the way that Peter puts this is because he makes clear that God the Father was the God of Jesus Christ as well as the Father of Jesus Christ. And because he had a dual role, it suggested that Jesus had a dual role, one as son and the other as servant. And so you need to recognize that it is throughout this duality that Jesus displays on earth and that he has prepared from heaven that makes this all possible. He says, which, again, according to his abundant mercy, his overabundance, his ability to have more than enough, his abundance that is super sufficient, his mercy, listen, is what we have gotten by way of what God did through Jesus Christ. It says, hath begotten us again. Now what that means is, it means that we are born again. Mankind was created and mankind was made perfect. He had a sinless nature. He was one with God, but man sinned, fell short, turned his back on God, and so he died. And yet God sought a way to bring him, to begot him, to beget him, to bring him back again into a born again status. So the first born again talks about mankind, but the second time it's individuals who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, hath begotten us again. And I like the way that he says that because he wants to make clear to us that this happened by way of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The resurrection. This born again experience, this salvation that we have, listen, gives us the ability to enter back into a right relationship and fellowship with God. You see, one, we were saved from the power of sin. Two, we were saved from the penalty of sin. But verse 5 will share with us that we shall be saved from the presence of sin. So resurrection is first and foremost in understanding if you don't come by Jesus, you cannot come to God. Did you hear what I said? You've got to stop by the cross. And note that Jesus did and died and then was resurrected gives to us the hope and the assurance. Listen, we have a lively hope. See, some folk have hope, but it's not necessarily lively hope. And lively suggests active, it suggests bright, it suggests light, it suggests that it is filled with expectation. Something is wrong with a believer who doesn't have a lively hope. No, it may not take all of that for folk who don't understand that, but when you got that, something on the inside shows up on the outside. It's a lively hope when you hear somebody talking about Jesus. And I heard the old songwriter say, if you're talking about Jesus, yeah, he's a friend of mine. Something happens in this lively hope. I don't care how down you are, how sad things may be, how sick you may be, how troubled, perplexed you may be when you hear the name Jesus. It ought to stir up that lively hope in you. You ought to know this too. Yeah, shall pass. You ought to have an understanding that no weapon. And they're coming from the left, they're coming from the right, they're coming from behind, they're coming from in front, they're coming from above, from down, beneath. But then you're reminded that Jesus has got this thing fixed. A lively hope. And then he moves on in verse 4 to talk about a reservation. Because he talks about our inheritance. And I thank God because verse 3 really ensures that we understand our inheritance was secured in verse 3 because of the resurrection. But in verse 4, our inheritance is saved. Yeah, y'all not hearing me. Can't nobody get my inheritance. Inheritance, what does it mean? In this case, it means possession. You know, many times we inherit certain things, be they material things, be they land, be they dowries, etc., etc., etc. But in this case, it's talking about a possession, a divine, supernatural possession. It's my possession, and he's saving it for me. Yeah, look at what he says. To an inheritance incorruptible. So inheritance means possession. Incorruptible means immortal. It means that it's not been spoiled. Incorruptible mean that nothing has tainted it. It's incorruptible. And it's not going away. Did you hear what I said? I don't care how long it takes till Jesus comes back. My possession, my inheritance is waiting on me with my name on it. Yeah, sometimes, you know, you have things taken from you on this side. Things that had your name on it. They are repossessed. They're taken back. They're foreclosed on. They're stolen from you. They are robbed from you. They get away from you. But I've got an inheritance that the record says is being saved for me. So that means I don't have to fret. I don't have to fear. Jesus has secured my inheritance. It is incorruptible. But notice again, it says, and undefiled. Undefiled. Here it talks about the character of Christ. It means it's pure. It's holy. It's right. Isn't it good to know that your possession is holy? Because on this side, some of us inherit some hellish stuff. But I'm so glad my possession is holy. My possession is undefiled. It is pure. And Jesus is saving it for me. Listen to what it says. It says, and that fadeth not away. It's not going to be corroded. You know, down here, when you don't use something, there is a saying, if you don't use it, yeah, you lose it. Stuff sit down here and it rots away. It becomes frail and fragmented. It falls apart. But there it shall never fade away. That's some kind of inheritance. That's some kind of inheritance. Matter of fact, it should be that way since I'm going to be there for eternity. I wouldn't want to be there for eternity and my inheritance don't last the full length of time that I'm going to be there. And so listen to this, my brothers and sisters. The Bible says, reserved in heaven for you. That's reservation. My inheritance is reserved for me. See, down here, you have reserved signs when you are important, as people call it. There are VIP sections. There are signs when you are important, where there are reserved signs, which means nobody else can park, sit, occupy this reserved place. And down here, you might not ever get a reserved place. Down here, you might not ever be VIP. Down here, you might not ever get backstage passes. Down here, you might not ever be called to the White House to a special dinner. You might not ever be what folk call important, but thanks be to God, you're important to Jesus. Ain't got to have no big bank account, don't have to have no degrees behind your name, don't have to have accumulation of things. You're important because you accepted him as your Savior. And for that, he's reserved an inheritance in heaven for you. Touch your neighbor and say, he's reserved something for me. I know that sound good. Say it to the other neighbor. He reserved something in heaven for me. Or you somebody, you in high cotton when you can say, look, I got something waiting for me up in heaven. It's got my name on it. Yeah, mansion is good up in heaven, but a mansion wouldn't do me no good if I didn't have this inheritance, if I didn't have this possession, if I didn't have this salvation. And then verse 5 says, who are kept by the power of God? Who are kept? Now I'm asking you, are you kept? Oh, some of y'all act like you ain't been kept, don't look like you've been kept. You sitting there like wondering what I'm talking about. I said, who are kept? Somebody can look back over their life and say, if this would have happened, I wouldn't be sitting here today, but he kept me. Have I got a witness in the house today? Can you look back over your life and see that there were many exits that your life could have taken, but the Lord kept you? Well, is there anybody who's ever been foolish in their lives and done some foolish things and know that because of your foolishness, you could have been dead, sleeping in your grave, but the Lord kept you? Is there anybody who was in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong people doing the wrong thing, but the Lord? I wish I had a helper in the house, but the Lord kept me. Woo! I told you I got excited when it said, who are kept by the power of God? Sit on down. I know I should quit right here, but I'm not through yet. Somebody over in the other auditorium ought to be able to bear witness to the fact that the only reason I got here this morning is because he kept me when other folk left me.
When my job fired me, when my loved ones left me, when my friends turned their backs on me, he kept me.